All right, okay, well today we're going to carry on with this kind of sort of mini-series really that I've just entitled The Kingdom of Heaven Coming to Earth, Heaven Coming to Earth. And it kind of ties in with this challenge that I feel God has given us to aim to see 100 chairs filled in this church. I'm going to keep reminding myself and you of that because I think this is It's about mission. It's about God calling us to, deliberately calling us to mission. and I think the only way forward in that, and the only way in which this really works and happens in church is when we see the kingdom of God come, the kingdom of heaven come, and God doing things. Because I don't know about you, but I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own strength. I can't do this. But I have to have God at work in me. You have to have God at work in you before any of this could be possible. So I think those two things go hand in hand. And, you know, I mean, Jesus' message, wasn't it? When he went around, he said, what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand, is near, yeah? And, I mean, I think that's his message. So if that's his message, that should be our message. And the message to the world around us, which is very different to maybe the world, way the world understands any kind of spirituality, is that God is not distant. He's not disinterested. He's not aloof and just kind of, you know, a long, long way away. But God's kingdom and his presence is near. And I just want to... you need a photocopy, please. You know, I just want to, what happens when something exciting is going on nearby? I was with Margaret Proctor earlier in the week and we were just chatting in her living room. And it's quite a sort of in-depth conversation. And I was being very good pastor and I was listening properly. But all of a sudden, I just saw out of the corner of my eye, I saw this bird of prey, a kestrel or something, just fly past the window. And I just kind of, did you see that? It's a kestrel. And we both jumped out of our seats, we went to the door, we opened the door, and we're kind of like, oh. Because when something happens and it's nearby, you don't just kind of, oh, yeah. You want to go and have a look, don't you? You want to get involved. You want to see what's going on. And this... is how close the kingdom of God is to us. God, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is nearby. And we just have to take hold of that, because if we realize that, then we would be, oh, I want to get involved in this, yeah? We've just, as some of you probably know, we're having our loft converted, and we've got some two new rooms now up there for, which is great. And it's interesting, having now watched the building work here and building work at our house, there's a whole lot of language that you have to learn that builders use. And one of those things is electricians and plumbers have a first fix. Now, I didn't know what a first fix was but a first fix is when the electricians come before everything's, you know, pretty much early on, and they lay the cables, they get the connections from the fuse box to the wherever, and basically they do all the hard work to make everything ready so that then the walls can be built, the plasterboard can go on, the plastering can be done. And you get to that point where we got back actually off holiday and the plaster had been, and we got back and we saw this beautifully plastered ceiling. Now I'm thinking, they've got to get 6 spotlights in this. Have they forgotten it? Because in the wall you've got cables dangling out, you know, ready to put the socket. Definitely. Have you missed the spotlights? Because this looks really nice, but it would be nice to have some lights in here. And he said, no, don't worry. We've measured where the cables are, and because with the spotlights, you just have to drill a hole and plug the spotlight. And so it's all ready to go. So basically, all the electrician had to do, probably half an hour's work almost, just go, all ready to go. Turn on the lights and off they are. This is the kingdom of heaven. It's that close. The first fix, Jesus, if you like, we just ate that meal, the communion meal. The work has been done. What did Jesus say on the cross? Finished. It's like everything is ready. Everything is there. It's all there. All we have to do is just kind of plug into it. Just get connected. It's all ready. It's all there. I think sometimes we think, oh, Kingdom of Heaven, that's a long way away. Long way away from us, so we've just got to do a lot of work here. But actually, it's just there. It's all ready. All the work has been done. First fix, we just have to just do the little bit of second fix, as they call it. Plug it in. Do you believe me? Okay. Do you believe that? I mean, is that, yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, it's a rhetorical question. I tell you what, let's look at a bit of scripture. This is where we're going to look at Luke 15. And while you find Luke 15, it's a famous story that Jesus told, the parable of the prodigal son. And you'll know this parable, I'm sure, but it's the one where the younger brother, there's two brothers, the younger brother goes to the father and asks for his inheritance. And then having received his inheritance, he leaves home and he wastes that inheritance on wild living. And eventually he ends up really at rock bottom. He ends up feeding pigs, and in Jewish culture that would be just like the lowest of the low. And he comes to his senses. I love the bit where he comes to his senses, and he realizes that he could actually get a better job at home, even just if he was doing the same kind of thing at home. So he heads home, and his father, who he expects, I guess, to be cross, angry, yeah, and not that pleased to see him, runs to him, welcomes him, restores him as a son, throws a celebration party, and he says, "This is my son who was lost but is now found." And that's the story we know, isn't it? We're very familiar with that. But I'm going to read the last little bit, which I think often gets forgotten. So I'm going to read from verse 25 of chapter 15 of Luke, which says, "Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he's back safe and sound.' The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Now, I've only read a little bit of that parable. Every time I read this parable, I find a new thing. It just, I don't know, I hope this will always carry on with this, but there's always some way I don't know about you, but I can always relate to one of the characters in some way. There's something else about that one, the younger one or the older one or the father, but I think I can relate to that. Each time I find a different thing. And I want to ask you this question: who feels sorry for the older brother in this story? Does anyone feel sorry? Let me ask you a question. Why do you feel sorry for him? I'll give you two options. Is it because he faithfully served his dad and never got anything? Or is it because he never realized he could ask his dad for what was really his? Yeah. And I think the way we answer that question actually possibly gives away our relationship with how we are with our Father, our Heavenly Father. How you instinctively answer that, you know, because I think a lot of us, it's like, oh, it's just not fair, is it? There he is slaving away, and yet he didn't seem to get anything. But actually, is that the way we view our relationship with God? I'll leave that with you. So this older brother, he's been faithfully working, he's kept the rules, and his younger brother's gone off, squandered the inheritance. And then all of a sudden one day he's in the field doing his thing and just, you know, getting his head down and just being faithful young brother. And he hears the music and he thinks, what's going on? And really what is going on is the sound of salvation. I think we need to hear that. You know. The sound of salvation, that's what the party is. And his reaction to that was anger, to go in. You know, a couple of weeks ago I told you about this stuff that's going on in Reading, and people are coming to the Lord and people being, you know, in their hundreds are giving their lives to the Lord. You read the stuff, I read a few articles online, and the comments that are being made, oh, I don't think this is good, this is not true. What do you want? You know, and it's almost like older brother syndrome. We hear the sounds of salvation. There is people getting saved in Reading. Mm-hmm. Apparently the visiting evangelist that come from Florida, one of the comments was, never trust anything that comes out of Florida. Okay, maybe with Mickey Mouse, but not, you know, not. Yeah, exactly. Had some very nice ice cream in Florida when I was there a long time ago. But, you know, there is a tendency for us to think, there's salvation going on over there. Either it can't be true or something. And we just start moaning about it. And so this older brother, he refuses to go in. His pride took over, didn't he? His pride took over that he thought he was in the right place. And actually, if you notice in both of them in this story, the father has to go out to both of them. It's not just the younger brother, but the father has to go out and try and rescue both of them from outside. And he says to his dad, you never gave me anything. I've worked hard and I've been a good boy, but you've not given me anything in return. And the father says in verse 31, he says, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. And you know, as I look at it again this week, what I think is inferred in that comment is that the one thing the younger son got right was he asked his dad. Now, after that, the younger son got a few things wrong. Okay, we know that, and we know all about that. So, but I don't think the younger son was wrong in asking for his inheritance. What he did with it was wrong, but asking for it wasn't wrong. He says, you're always with me and everything I have is yours, to the older one. And so what the father is saying to the older son, he's saying, you need to ask. You need to ask. In fact, you should ask. And I want us to consider this. If God, or our Father, has everything for us, has he kept it for us locked away in a cupboard for just in case? You know, or for a rainy day? Has God given us a whole load of things that we just sort of just put up in the loft? I know some of us have got a lot of stuff in the loft, but you know, is that the way that God has given us, you know, stuff? Just put it up there in the loft and just use it in dire emergency. And I think actually the answer is no. He just says, I'm Father, and all we have to do is ask. And I think our problem partly is cultural, because I don't know about you, but I get a bit annoyed with people who just come boldly into the room and just, you know, or, you know, like the children, sometimes, I want a biscuit, you know, or they don't even ask, they just go straight to the things and pull it out, and you know, or you've been in queues and somebody pushes to the front, don't you know, this is England, we queue. When I went on skiing, you know, and I was all slipping all over the place, and you've got to queue for the ski lift, and you know, people just, they don't care that you're the, you know, like, I'd be thinking, oh, if I could help that person slipping all over the place and falling over on the backside all the time, I'd help them out. But no, not on a ski lift in continental Europe. Yep, there we are. I'm at the front of the queue. And never mind. You could be there all day, slipping up the... We don't really like that here, do we? But actually, I think the Bible teaches, and in fact encourages us, to be bold in our asking. So maybe there's some cultural barriers we need to overcome, but we need to come to Father God and say, I'd like that. And so I want you to consider today, what does Father God have that you would like? What are you able to ask God for? In James it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You know the story of Solomon. I mean, he asked for wisdom, and he got a whole load of other stuff as well, but he was bold. In fact, further on in James, it says, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasure. So there, in fact, is actually a little summary of the Luke story. You know, he said, but you don't have it because you don't ask. In 1 Corinthians, and we'll probably look at this next week in a little bit more detail, but in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, eagerly desire the greatest gift. So it's talking about the Holy Spirit and asking God, zealously and earnestly pursue, strive for the most useful and most advantageous gift. Don't sort of think, oh, well, am I, you know, giving just a small little gift? I need a little bit of faith, maybe. But he's saying, you know, go for prophecy. Go for healing. These are all things in God. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now, I don't know about you, but just even reading a few things, you get the idea that God is saying to us, ask. Ask for your inheritance. You're encouraged to not to wait for God to sort of maybe give it to you if, because then you become like the older brother, just slaving away, and you sort of, God's there kind of thinking, I wonder when he's going to ask me. But actually, the kingdom of heaven is near. All the first fix has been done. It's ready and waiting to go. And God is calling us to reach out and just take a hold of it. Just take a hold of it. Just plug in. He's looking for people to boldly ask. Children who will come to him as father and say, Dad, can I have? Now, if you're a dad, I mean Abigail in particular, she's just really good at asking. You know, you go into a shop and you know, in fact, we deliberately do not go into shops a lot of the time just because you know that you're going to get asked, ooh, look at that. I mean, she even managed to divert me on the way home from school to the model shop. She's never shown any interest in models at all. We went into the model shop and then she just saw all this stuff and it's like, wow, Dad, we could get this. Because she knows that Dad has a wallet in his pocket and Dad loves her, and actually at the end of the day we end up, because I love her. And actually, I do make restrictions, you know, she's not too spoiled. I think what we need to consider, actually, I think we need to consider God as actually a grandparent, because I don't know if you've seen, we try and restrict things, but once the children then get with the grandparents, free fall, yeah, it's just kind of like whatever, you know, they come back, like, what did you do? Well, we had ice cream, we had this, and we have this, and you've only gone for an hour. How did you do all that? You know, and they come back with this kind of soft toy and stuff. Grandparent. Okay, so think of God as a grandparent. You ask and you get. It's like this. Where am I? Gone off my notes there. Earnestly seek the gifts, he says. Earnestly seek. Earnestly seek. For too long, I think we've been like the older brother, who have just been, we just kind of think, well, maybe, and I think this is our approach, isn't it? But, you know, I don't have the gift of prophecy, and if God wants to give me the gift of prophecy, he'll give it to me. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, earnestly desire the prophecy. So here's a challenge. Let us seek God for a greater outpouring of the Spirit, that he would give us greater gifts. And we would be a strong church, wouldn't we, if we had a handful of prophets, handful of healers, handful of evangelists, you know, because they just feel, yeah, God has done this. And there's just so much scope here, because I think we limit it down just to a few little jobs like pastor, or somebody who's doing CAP, and a few people that do Sunday school, and you think, well, that's where all those jobs are filled now, so there's nothing. No, they earnestly desire. I mean, those are just the little things, really. You know, if you've got somebody who can hear from God and accurately prophesy, all kinds of things. But it isn't an option, it's actually a command. He says, ask. I'm going to come back to, there's a scripture in Ephesians, we looked at it a bit over summer. It says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but we often take that command, don't we? Don't be drunk with wine. We take that very seriously. So let's not be drunk with wine. That's a direct command, right? We understand that, you know? But do we take, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, as the equally important command? And do we actually say, there's a direct comparison here. It says, don't do this, but do that. So we're very proactive in not doing one, but are we very proactive in doing the other? And I think I said to you over the summer, you know, if you want to be drunk tonight, and now I'm talking about alcohol, you'll need to drink today. But if you want to be drunk tomorrow, you'll need to drink tomorrow. If you want to be drunk next weekend, you'll need to drink next weekend. There's no good drinking today. You want to be drunk next Saturday. You've got to keep drinking. Now, he's saying, don't do that, but he says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, he's saying, be filled with the Spirit next Saturday. When are you going to be filled? You need to be continually filled. We need to keep asking. We need to maybe open to the idea that actually we're going to be as drunk with the wine as with the Holy Spirit in a good way than we would have been in a bad way had we been drinking the booze. Wine leads to debauchery, he says. The Holy Spirit, that leads to righteousness. Let's be excessive in our righteousness. Let's be excessive in our in the power that God gives us. I mean, you can't have too much of a good thing in this world. And finally, I'm just dotting all over the place, but these are just, as you look at it, you just think, as you look through it, it says, keep asking, keep pursuing, keep going for it. There's nowhere here where it just sort of says, just sit back and just wait. You know, God might give it to you in 2035. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so in Luke 11, if you want to turn there, you can do. We're just going to quickly finish with this. In Luke 11, which starts, Jesus asks, teaches how to pray, and he gives us the Lord's Prayer. And then from verse 5, after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which, and then again he's talking about fathers here. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, you'll give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, in essence, this whole kingdom of heaven coming to earth stuff really is us getting to know God as Father. A Father who gives good gifts, a Father who's not distant, but a Father who is close, a Father who's not judgmental and unapproachable, but a Father who is right here and in fact runs to us and throws gifts on us and lavishes us and says, I am with you and everything I have is yours. And all you need to do is ask and it will be given to you. All you need to do is seek and you'll find it. All you have to do is knock and it will be open to you. And here's the thing. I mean, he's not even talking about physical things. He's talking about the ultimate thing. He says, you just have to ask for the Holy Spirit. Couldn't get any better. And I think the tragedy in the church is a lot of the time we don't ask because we don't really think we're quite good enough. Or we think we need to work out and then we'll get something. But actually, if we believe in everything that we believe about the communion meal, it is finished. First fix has been done. It's already in waiting for you just to plug in. You just have to ask. For his children. We're out with the grandparents. Anything's possible. You know, the sweet shop is just, it's all there for us. The toy shop, it's all there for us. You know, when I went to Hong Kong when I was about 6-7 years old, my auntie, who's unfortunately dead now, but she loved to show off. She had a fair bit of money as well. And so she took me into a toy shop in Hong Kong, and it was like when Star Wars was all, and I was really interested. You can have whatever you want. And I'm looking at my mum's kind of like, that's what God's like. Everything I have is yours. So I want to ask you this morning, what does the Father have that you want? And we're going to, oh, we're going to be very, you know, we're going to get very humble about this. Well, I don't really need much. Well, if you're saying that, you're becoming a little bit too self-sufficient. And if you think, well, I don't know whether I can ask that, you're being far too British. I need to take you skiing and we'll go on the ski queue and we can be flopping about at the bottom and you'll find everybody who wants to get on, well, anyone wants to get to the top of the mountain on the ski lift, they just barge in front. There's no queuing. What does the Father have that you want? Maybe it is wisdom. You know, some of we were just in a situation just the other day where we said, Father, we just need wisdom. If you need wisdom, ask for wisdom. If you need power, ask for power. If you need faith, ask for faith. If you need understanding, ask for understanding. If you need boldness, ask for boldness. If you need joy, if you need peace, if you need healing, if you need freedom, God has all that. So I'm just going to, we're just going to take a time now, and I'm going to let you be bold and ask. You don't have to say it out loud, but God hears your heart. And I'm going to pray that we're filled with the Holy Spirit again, because we need to keep drinking. Yeah, I'd like us to be really drunk today in the Holy Spirit, and next week, and tomorrow. But we need to keep drinking. So I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to ask you to ask. And then we'll let God do the rest. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that we can call you Father. And that we can know that we are your children through Jesus, your Son. We are now sons. Heirs to inheritance. Firstborn heirs. We can receive the fullness of all you have. Forgive us, Lord, where we have been like the elder brother, who we've maybe just been waiting and waiting and thinking, well, we haven't really seen much. But actually, forgive us where we just haven't asked. And let us be like the people that you said, well, just keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Because we trust in you that you are a loving and good God, who loves to give gifts and share what you have with your children. And so I pray this morning as we ask for what you have and what you want to give to us, give us the boldness to ask. And in doing so, let us know that as we ask, that we would know more fully that we are your children. And so I pray now, come Holy Spirit and fill us afresh. Come Holy Spirit and touch each one of us. Whatever we need, give us the boldness to ask and touch us now. And I just want to encourage you, I'm just going to take a little moment now, we'd maybe sing a song to finish with in a few moments, but if God is speaking to you, then let him keep speaking. Don't rush away. If God is doing something, you're feeling his presence on you, then just let him do what he's got to do. You may feel nothing, and you may experience nothing now, but if you're asking, I think God will start to work it. So whether it's prophecy, I mean, all of us, desire that. Then it may not happen now, but it may happen tomorrow morning. It may happen next week, but just keep asking God. Keep seeking him.